Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Yesterday, Shruti gave the count of how many years, 5,100 and so on years ago, that Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita. You could figure actually the weather was about the same. Kurukshetra is up north, it's close to Himalayas. And so early morning, it's still dark. All the armies was assembling on both sides, and then Arjuna before the fight begins, Arjuna, Krishna, I can take my chariot. Seems like there's a lot of things go on before the battle actually started. Both armies set up. They evaluate each other's strengths. That's how the Gita starts. Who's on the other side? It's a very redundant question because they really know who's on the other side, but they want to hear what's the relative strengths and weaknesses of the main players. And it's a... and then Arjuna will fall into illusion by Krishna's arrangement. Not really illusion, but forgetfulness, state of forgetfulness, because he's not really in Maya. He's just really forgetful of those things by Krishna's potency, Krishna's energy. And an interesting thing that... Prabhupada writes in a letter about Arjuna and the Pandavas. He says that they're not in the spiritual world, but they're Krishna's eternal associates in the material world. So wherever Krishna appears, there the Pandavas appear. Pretty extraordinary. Of course, here I'm just looking at chapter 4 where Krishna's talking again. Parampara pratam imam raja shivobitu shukali amata yoga nasta prantata. And he says, Saivam mayati da yoga pukta puratana bhakto simi sakacheti rahasyam pita vittama puratana. He says, I have spoken this a long, long time, so we're thinking 5,000 years, but in terms of the time scale, Krishna's talking about Patimam Vivaspati Yogam. He says, I spoke this to the sun god, and Prabhupada calculates that this is like in the hundreds of millions of years. So in that sense, we're very fortunate to be here, getting Krishna's mercy. Devotees always ask about, they want mercy, blessings, and that's how we start off the day. Samsara Dhavana Lalita Loka. In Manchester, it's always raining mercy. But the Prabhupada would say, what is mercy? What is blessings? Some people think it's some kind of mystical thing. Of course, there is that also. There's that the the desire of a great Vaishnava, he can just transform somebody. But that's not the way Vaishnavas work. It's not the way anyone really works. Generally, only charlatans try and do that, but obviously they can't because they don't have the spiritual potency. So, for instance, Srila Prabhupada, who 50 years ago was sitting in a broom closet in a building, a broom closet with no windows or anything like that, and with the idea of giving Bhagavad Gita to others. And but Prabhupada could have just said, okay, you all become pure devotees. But that's not the way of spreading Krishna consciousness. It's not what Krishna did either, necessarily. But real mercy means instruction, that we get the knowledge. You're lost in the forest, samsara dhavana, burning forest fire. So you meet someone and you ask them, help me get out. So you don't, you can't have a helicopter lift, but if they tell you, you just go this way and you'll get out, then that's the mercy. And that's the way mercy comes. That's the mercy that Krishna is giving. Krishna could come to this planet and just say, everyone should just become perfect and go back. But that's not necessarily the way things work, certainly not the way Srila Prabhupada worked. The mercy means, here you do this, and you take this, and you apply it. Why? Because that's the principle of love. The principle of love is that it's based on free will. It's like, someone saying, oh, make me love you. Make anyone love you, give me mercy, bless me to become a pure devotee. Why? You work at it, and then you get it. So it's our free will. We have our free will. Do we want to love Krishna? When people say, I want blessings, they actually mean, I'm a materialist, and I want to hang on to my material attachments, and simultaneously make me a lover of Krishna. It doesn't work like that. You give it up. That's why Krishna says, Sarvadharma Puritija. You give it up. And then you get it. And Lord Chaitanya came to give it. But Mishaya Chariya Shriya Shrimajya, but you have to give it up. When you give it up, then you just follow the path. Here's the path. You just do what Krishna says. That's why we're studying Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. And that's why, of course, it's so important. Reading Prabhupada's books, because you got the map to get out of the forest fire, but you don't look at it, then you may as well not have the map at all. Then you still remain lost. So this is the mercy. And this is the mercy that we have, and it's the mercy that we're also trying to give. And giving the map, the map out of the material world. Unfortunately, not everyone's. It's like, when there's a forest fire, then everyone's running here and there, and many living entities just perish in the fire because they're running around. Instead of just staying calm, saying, all right, let's figure out how to go, they're just running. And that's what people are doing. They're just running around and they're perishing. So somehow we want to try to influence them. You can't go to the extreme. It's, sometimes what doctors do is say, gosh, they have to like slap somebody, wake up. But you can't, it's not a good strategy on the street to just go up. They deserve it. But no, somehow or another have to get that same effect. Uto utishtu tishtu jagrata, to wake people up. And that's real, the real point. potency, the real Shakti, to wake them up. So it's like someone sleeping. You can sit there and talk to him forever and he just continues sleeping. That's what some people call preaching. You just talk at somebody, but it doesn't have any effect. The preaching means that they wake up. And to wake somebody up, you don't have to say very much. You know, it's like shake him or poke him with a pin or something. And so Christian preaching really means that people wake up and they realize, yes, I need to follow this. So Krishna says that very ancient science of the relationship with the Supreme is today told by me to you because you're my devotee as well as my friend and can therefore understand the transcendental mystery of this science. These people are not bhakta and not sakha. They're neither friends, neither devotees. But inherently they're that, because they're all Nitya Krishna Das eternally. And it's a mystic power. Devotees attain, that's a mystic power when you stop a materialist running on the street, it's a city. And just like, you know, other cities, yogis don't acquire cities just overnight. They perform austerities to do that. And that's what book distribution becomes, is you, by practicing, by learning, and just like to do asana in whatever city you want to attain, then there's a very exacting procedure for that. Similarly, in order to learn book distribution, there's an exacting procedure, and then there's the tapasya that you do, and it becomes a city. It becomes a city. And I realized the other day how much I've sort of lost the cities by sitting behind a desk pushing a pen, because the city can evolve to say, you don't have to say anything, you don't have to do anything, you just point at a person. But it's something that you have to really apply to and surrender to and want to do, because just like those yogis who acquire some cities, they're 100% into it. They really want something and they really want to cultivate and develop something. So similarly, when we're there, we're not just there for them, we're also there for us. And that city of being able to attract conditioned souls also works on Krishna. It attracts Krishna. It's called Krishna. What do you got your hand in your mouth for? Krishna Karshani Jata. It's actually a stage of Krishna consciousness. This type of practice, it attracts. It also synonymous with that type of energy, which attracts Krishna. So we've got a great opportunity today to celebrate Bhagavad Gita, pray to Krishna and Arjuna, or their horses, or anything, or his arrows, or his whip, Krishna's whip. To empower us, because we need blessings. Blessings also means that someone gives you permission to do something. So actually we can't do this unless we had Prabhupada's permission. So Prabhupada gave that around. When we were young devotees, it's somewhat a little different nowadays, and that Krishna consciousness is spread and there's a lot of things. We were brainwashed. Like this was the most important thing. It was the only thing. It was what everybody did. If you don't do it, there's nothing else for you to do here in the temple. And we were brainwashed by Prabhupada. There may be so many other things that Prabhupada taught, but Prabhupada just over and over and over and over, and really that's what the Krishna consciousness movement was. It was just a book distribution machine. have that that conviction. And this is what then that conviction came from Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada also got that order. And in one sense, he got it in a very by the way, when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told Prabhupada and Radhika and all these devotees, so just fighting over the temples. In other words, they're distracted by so many other things. Is it actually better if we just forget about the temple and sell the marble and actually just print and distribute books? So I told Prabhupada, if you ever get money, print and distribute books. And that was it. And Prabhupada, instructions don't have to be something that, you know, you roll out the red carpet, blow the trumpets, and make a big fanfare about. Instruction is that we have to pick it up. And so Prabhupada got that instruction, and he also, the empowerment. Similarly, we're also getting those blessings from Srila Prabhupada. Just like after Krishna spoke the Gita, chariot went back, and Yudhisthira Maharaj got off his chariot and took off all his armor, and he walked across the battlefield, and everyone thought, does he want to just give up without even fighting? And he came up, and he just offered dandavats to Bhishma Dev and Dronacharya and the elders, Kripacharya, and he asked them for their blessings that they can fight. So they said, "Did you have my blessings?" What they were doing is they were giving their blessings so that they could be killed. But for Kshatriya, it didn't matter. And Krishna says, okay, whether you fight, you live, or you die, you're going to enjoy. So what's the difference? So for them, it didn't really matter. And then, yes, they gave. And then Bhishma Dev told him, if you didn't do this, you'd lose. You would have lost. And then he went back, and then Duryodhana, he started complaining. He said, what kind of kshatriya is this? He can't depend on the strength of his own arms. And then Bhishma Dev told him, he says, but you're so arrogant, you think that you can do something just by your own strength without actually getting blessings, without actually getting the good wishes of superiors. And because of that, you're going to die on this battlefield, and all of your men are also going to die. So we want those blessings. We have the permission, the authority, authorization to go out. It's certainly the most auspicious day, and we'll get empowered by Krishna's words. These are Krishna's words. They look like a book. It's like when people ask me, are the books free? I said, the knowledge is free, you better pay for the paper. But it's not paper and ink, it's transcendental knowledge. And that transcendental knowledge will empower us. And if we, that's why sometimes it's very good to keep a verse or some mantra in our minds. Hare Krishna mantra is the best one. But like this, Aiva Mayatidya Yoga Pukta Puratanam. Now I'm speaking to you. And if we're thinking like that, then Krishna will speak to those people that same knowledge, and they can take the book and get out of this material world. And Hare Krishna. Transcendental distribution ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Jai Nitai Gopinam.